into coming here. Kidnapped you, did they? The woman asked. I volunteered, Violet admitted. What's the punishment for trespassing? Jace asked. Do you really care? Isn't this ride going to waste with nobody to play on it? What's the use of all this junk with nobody here? These artifacts were collected over many years, the woman said. That carousel is unique in all the outskirts. Not as unique where I'm from, Cole said. Am I supposed to believe you're from outside? The woman asked. Do you think that gives you a claim on this collection? Maybe, Cole said. My friends were stolen from our world. How did this stuff get here? The World Walkers acquired these pieces over long years, the woman said. World Walkers? Violet asked. The woman waved her hands as if swatting away gnats. Now you've got me talking about history better left unmentioned. You should be glad we're here, Jay said. Isn't a collection meant to be viewed? This place looks abandoned. Does anyone else work here? I'm alone here sometimes, the woman said. I have help at times, too. I can call security, and they'll be here in no time. Then you'll wish I hadn't. Don't get us in trouble, Cole said. We're just curious. Does the carousel really work? Wouldn't it need electricity? We bring it direct from Earth, using... She placed a hand over her mouth, then removed it. You kids are good at getting me talking. I bet it doesn't work, Jay said. I know a bluff when I see one. The woman pointed at him. I know what you're doing, and it won't work. Jace has a point, Cole said. What use is a carousel without people to ride it? The woman folded her arms, then unfolded them. It is a piece of foreign culture, meant to have riders, Cole said. The woman sighed. It's been some time since I let it spin. Okay, how about this arrangement? I let you ride. Then you leave and swear to tell nobody you came here. I can live with that, Mira said. Maybe I can as well, the woman said. You seem all right. First, tell me what prompted your interest in this place. We've discouraged interest in the caches enough that few in your generation care they exist. Cole decided to take a risk. We're looking for somebody. All heads turned to him. Not me, I take it, the woman said. Who could you possibly be looking for here? Lorenzo Debray, Cole said. Her face clearly registered worried surprise before she covered the reaction. She forced an awkward chuckle. Now you're getting absurd. Are we? Mira asked. Creon is in danger, and we need to find him. What sort of danger? The woman asked. We can't get too specific, Cole said, but it involves stopping a Torvor. The woman looked perplexed. Trillian remains safe inside... Not him, Cole said. Romaro. The woman nodded. You realize Lorenzo Debray was a grand shaper hundreds of years ago. Yes, and he's in hiding near here, Cole said. The woman shook her head. I've never met a crazier troop of rascals. You're all far too fond of nonsense. The World Walkers collected these things from outside? Violet asked. No more of that talk, the woman said. The World Walkers were officially disbanded more than 60 years ago. Their unofficial excursions tapered off roughly 20 years ago. Those in charge questioned the ethics of securing these items and the propriety of too much attention fixed outside our world. Then this stuff is just junk, Jay said. Relics from an abandoned project. A few of us... still find value here, the woman said. We're allowed to curate the caches as long as we keep them closed to the public, so your presence endangers my life's work. Were you a World Walker? Twitch asked. I have worked with some of the best of them, the woman said. And I keep talking too much. I must be lonelier than I realized. One ride, then you depart. Lips sealed. We'll depart and look for Lorenzo de Bray, Cole said.
Why not find Kendo Ratan while you're at it?
The woman asked. We expect to, Cole said. One step at a time. The woman threw up her hands as if the discussion was hopeless and teetered over to a shed. She unlocked the door and went inside.
Did you see her face when you mentioned Lorenzo de Bray? Mira whispered. She knows something.
Seemed like it,
Jace whispered. Think she'll help us? Cole asked.
Depends if we can get her to trust us, Mira whispered. The location of Lorenzo de Bray is an enormous secret. She has to be good at keeping it.
Thousands of light bulbs came on all over the carousel. Music began to play, and it slowly started to turn.
It works, Jace said with a smile.
He rummaged in a satchel, pulled out the hat he got in Zeropolis, and put it on. Grab something to ride, Cole said. Make sure your pole connects to the crank at the top or it won't go up and down. Everyone claimed a mount as the carousel sped up. The old woman exited the shed and watched, a smile on her lips. Cole looked back at Jace, eyes closed, grinning, his tiger rising and falling. He opened his eyes and took off his hat, waving it in the air.
You love that hat, Cole called. Perfect for the holidays, Jace replied.
Cole could not help imagining life as a slave, a life without holidays. He realized he couldn't even begin to understand what it was really like for someone who had spent their whole life that way. Mira laughed on her horse. Twitch bobbed up and down on a colorful rooster, trying to look in every direction at once, soaking in the experience. Violet contentedly held the pole above her dolphin with both hands.
Had enough?
The old woman called as they passed her.
Nobody is waiting for a turn, Cole called back. Keep it going!
Something slammed into Cole and constricted around him, knocking him from his horse. He fell short of hitting the floor of the carousel. It took Cole a moment to recognize the crisscross pattern of a net pressed to his face and enveloping the rest of him as well. He hung trapped off the side of his horse, head lower than his feet, unable to do more than barely squirm.
Run!
Jace shouted over the chiming music. Cole struggled fruitlessly. The world scrolled by as the carousel spun. In flashes from his awkward dangling position, Cole saw his friends scrambling and enforcers approaching. They had been ambushed. Cole had no connection to Violet, Twitch, or any of the weapons. He reached out but could not get a sense for where his friends were, let alone connect to their powers. Then Jace was at his side, hatless, thrusting the golden strand against his shoulder.
Quick! Jace said.
My hands, Cole said, but both hands were trapped between his chest and the side of the horse.
Hurry!
Jace said, holding the golden strand against his elbow, as close to Cole's hands as he could manage. Cole fought to make his hands available. He also tried to feel the power of the rope through his sleeve, and then Jace was yanked away. An enforcer stood in his place. Cole redoubled his effort to remotely connect to the golden rope. If only he could energize the rope, Jace could probably handle the enforcers. But Cole could establish no connection. The carousel slowed to a stop. The music continued and the lights remained on. Hands detached Cole's net from the horse. Somebody seized Cole's feet, dragged him to the edge of the carousel, and swung him off. Still hopelessly ensnared in the net, he landed in the dust, shoulder first, and did his best to absorb the impact by rolling. The net shrank around him, constricting so tight that Cole could barely breathe. From his helpless position on the ground, Cole watched the enforcers round up his friends. Mira wielded her jumping sword against an enforcer with four arms. Without energy from Cole, the sword was useless for jumping. The enforcer outfought her with a pair of long knives and knocked the sword from her grasp. Another enforcer moved with supernatural speed, first hurling Jace to the ground, then tracking down Twitch, who had tried to run off. Violet surrendered without a fight. Soon,
All his friends lay on the ground as well, hands bound. Cole counted a total of 5 enforcers. The old woman seemed to have disappeared. Could she have slipped into the shed?
"Keep them away from Cole," the fast enforcer said. "Jermaine, where's our wayport? Let's get them to the boss."
"Having a little trouble," Jermaine said. "I tried to hold our wayport open, but it collapsed."
"That's why we have 2 wayminders," the fast enforcer said. "Eric?"
"The cache must be shielded," Eric said. "I can't open anything here. We may have to take them outside the fence."
"Not much of a fight," the enforcer with 4 arms said. "Any 2 of us could have handled this."
"We had good intelligence," the fast enforcer said. "Isolate Cole. Nice work, Carson. Easy job after that."
"It was a solid plan, Lars," Carson said.
Cole miserably strained against the squeeze of the net. The enforcers were right. Without him to energize the others, they had been easy prey.
"What kind of net is that?" Mira asked. "Looks really tight."
"Never you mind," Lars said. "No talking. Boys, what is the best way to convey them outside the fence?"
Mira stared purposefully at Cole. She was right. The net was supernaturally tight. Sure enough, he could sense shaping power in it. Pressing his hands against the confining strands, he connected to the power. How was it energized? The power in the net felt like Sambrian shaping. Could somebody else energize objects to work outside their proper kingdoms? No. The power originated with one of the enforcers, the guy called Carson. He wasn't energizing power inherent to the net. He was using Sambrian shaping to directly control it. Carson's power had been mangled by shapecrafters to allow his Sambrian shaping to work in Creon. Cole knew he needed to act decisively. It would be easy to block Carson's power from controlling the net. With the net's embrace loosened, Cole might be able to move, but better if he could shake Carson up along with it. Using his connection with the power guiding the net, Cole traced the power back to its origin. Gritting his teeth, Cole connected directly to Carson's power, not to energize it, to tear it apart. Carson screamed and fell. The net slackened. Cole pushed a hand free. Lars stood nearest, and Cole grabbed his ankle. Cole felt his shaping power more distinctly than Carson's. It was marred throughout, tangled with darkness. Without the darkness, it felt Elowine. Pushing with all his might, Cole burned away the darkness. Lars cried out and collapsed. Flailing to free himself from the net, Cole lunged over to Jace. The other enforcers looked stunned. Cole took the golden strand from Jace's bound hands and forced energy into it. The 4-armed guy charged, but Cole quickly ensnared him with the rope, then used the contact to find the man's power. With a mighty surge of energy, Cole burned away the darkness throughout his power. 2 of the man's arms disappeared. Cole swung the stunned man violently into Eric. They connected with a clang of armor and a crunch of bone. Lars returned to his feet, looking shaky. Cole drew his jumping sword and forced energy into it. "Surrender or you're all going to die," he warned. Jermaine charged forward, sword in hand. Cole snared his ankles with the golden rope and whipped him into the air. Crouching, Lars set down his weapon and raised both hands.
"This is over. Stand down."
"What did you do to me?"
Carson asked with a miserable groan.
"He went right to your power," Lars said. "Went straight to mine, too."
Eric and the other enforcer remained motionless. Cole flopped Jermaine onto the ground, not gently, and retracted the rope. "On your faces," Cole said. The enforcers who could move complied.
"No shapecrafter can connect to your power that easily," Carson said, his voice still unsteady. "They warned us he was good," Lars said. "I didn't think of him using the net to get to you. What did you do to me? I can't feel my power."
"I healed you," Cole said. "Took away all the shapecrafting done to you."
"No fooling," Lars said with some admiration.
that quickly. I know shapecrafters who can adjust modifications to your power. I don't know anyone who can simply undo them.
Seemed like the fastest way to take away your shaping here, Cole said, using his jumping sword to carefully cut Jace's cords. It'll still work back in Elowir.
You didn't do that to me, Carson said. I feel wrong inside.
I'd say sorry, Cole said, but you were trying to capture us. The cords fell away from Jace's wrists, and Cole passed him the sword. Jace started freeing the others.
You followed my power through the net and back to me, Carson asked. Who does that?
The guy who is going to stop Romaro, Cole said.
Who?
Lars asked. Romaro, Cole said. You call him Nazim.
What?
Carson asked.
You guys don't even know who you're following?
Jace asked.
Explain, Lars said.
Your leader is the Torvor Romaro, Cole said, going under the name Nazim.
You're like those poor suckers who fall under Trillian's power, Mira said. Who do you think taught Owendell to mess with the shaping power? Cole asked.
He crossed to Carson. Crouching, Cole touched the back of his neck. The Enforcer's shaping power was not only marred with darkness, but torn, almost scrambled.
I really hurt your power.
You're telling me, Carson said.
I feel some of the results physically, like I'm permanently dizzy. It's turning to nausea.
Cole engaged with Carson's power, gently healing it, and then burned away the darkness. It wasn't very difficult.
You fixed it, Carson said. All of it.
You can feel your power, Cole said, but you can't use it here.
Yes,
Carson said. Don't let them maim you again, Cole said. Jermaine, hold still.
I'm a wayminder, Jermaine said, face down. My shaping power belongs here.
I'm going to check you, Cole said, touching the back of his head. His power was mangled with darkness woven into it.
What did they do to you?
Boosted my abilities, Jermaine said. I can open wayports more frequently than most.
With an effort of will, Cole burned away the darkness.
Not anymore, but your shaping is whole.
Cole went over to Eric and to the Enforcer who formerly had four arms, who was perfectly still. He didn't seem to be breathing. Cole reminded himself that, like the others, that man had been ready to do harm to Cole and his friends. Eric groaned as Cole approached.
Stay away.
Hold still or I'll smash you around again, Cole said, touching his neck. He burned away the darkness.
Enough of this!
A shrill voice called. Cole turned to find the old woman approaching. He held the golden rope ready just in case.
Time to send our unwanted visitors on their way, she said.
A shimmering wayport appeared.
Sorry if you find the destination inconvenient. Then again, you were never invited to trespass here.
Does this include us?
Violet asked.
You were not invited either, the old woman said. But I wouldn't send children to Outer Yurgo for wanting to ride a carousel. I refer to the Enforcers.
You heard her, Jay said. Head through the wayport. Be glad you're alive. Well, except the dead one.
Wait. Mira said. Do we want to use a couple of them to spread the word about Romaro through the Enforcers?
There are sure channels, the old woman said. These men will say whatever they can to get free, then double-cross you in a heartbeat.
I didn't know we fought for a Torvor, Lars said. And we are an elite unit. If we didn't know, very few know.
There are better channels,
the old woman maintained.
Into the wayport, Mira said.
Help Eric, Cole suggested.
I see that crossbow, the old woman said. Leave your weapons.
What about hunting?
Jermaine asked.
Get creative, the old woman suggested.
Jermaine and Carson carried Eric into the wayport. Lars paused before stepping through
and looked at Cole. If you are really up against a Torvor, good luck, kid. Like it or not, know it or not, we're all up against a Torvor, Cole said. Maybe so, Lars said, then stepped through. The wayport closed. The old woman crouched over the enforcer who used to have four arms.
He's not pretending.
She raised her voice.
All clear!
A man came out of the shed. Clad in the robes of a wayminder, he had long hair knotted atop his head and a short beard that followed the edge of his jaw.
Greetings, he said. I understand you're looking for Lorenzo de Bray. I am he.
Chapter 16. Hidden.
I pictured him older, Jace murmured to Mira.
I'll take that as a compliment, Lorenzo said.
Violet looked like she was about to pass out.
Are you really Lorenzo de Bray?
Fair question, Lorenzo said. You're all involved in some high-stakes trouble. You can't afford to get duped by an imposter.
Can you prove who you are? Jace asked. Lorenzo held up a hand, and Jace became motionless.
Your friend is unharmed, Lorenzo said. He is now experiencing time in an unusual way. Not many wayminders can accomplish this.
Nobody can do that, Violet said.
Not many, Lorenzo replied.
He waved a hand, and Jace could move again.
Edna informed me that you had come to look for me, and then enforcers attacked you. I came to survey the situation.
How did she inform you?
Twitch wondered.
I opened a wayport to him,
the old woman said.
You're a wayminder too? Cole asked.
Yes, though opening ways here in the cache is easy, the old woman said, especially if you belong here. Numberless shortcuts have been established over the years.
Their unfamiliarity with the protections here hampered the enforcers, Lorenzo said. I closed their wayport and prevented them from opening a new one. I thought I would have to rescue you, but then you saved yourselves, I must say, Cole. Your abilities are extraordinary.
Lorenzo de Bray knows your name,
Violet mumbled in awe.
I heard the enforcers use it, Lorenzo said, and I sensed what he did so impressive. Are you really trying to stop a Torvor?
We need help, Cole said. Lorenzo held up a hand.
Say no more. Come to my lair. We can speak freely there.
A wayport opened.
We were worried we wouldn't find you, Mira said.
Lorenzo gave a nod.
You have found me. Please, after you.
Jace went first, then Mira. Cole followed. He stepped through the wayport into a large underground chamber, rectangular as the inside of a box, the rock walls, ceiling and floor unnaturally smooth, the corners perfect. Despite the subterranean appearance, it had been turned into a home. Furniture abounded and rugs softened the floor. Several lamps lit the space. Taking a closer look, Cole found electric light bulbs inside them.
These are from my world, Cole said.
Lorenzo had come through after Violet and Twitch had closed the wayport. Edna had not joined them.
This surprises you after riding a carousel.
Good point, Cole said.
How deep are we?
Twitch asked.
Well below the surface, Lorenzo said. None. Will find us here.
North of the cache?
Mira asked.
Some distance north, yes, Lorenzo said.
We had directions to you, she said.
Who told you this?
Lorenzo asked.
Dandelus, Cole said.
Dandelus has moved on, Lorenzo said.
His echo, Cole clarified. We worked with him in the Echolands.
Not much can be hidden from Dandelus, Lorenzo said.
This cave doesn't look natural, Twitch said.
It isn't, Lorenzo said. I removed the rock myself.
With waymining?
Violet asked, a
astonished.
A form of wayminding, like the Worldwalkers used, Lorenzo said, transporting inanimate matter to spatial manipulation.
This place doesn't connect to the outside, Jay said.
Exactly, Lorenzo replied. I ventilate and regulate the temperature with tiny wayports. This hideaway is heavily shielded against snoopy wayminders. The best of the best would have a tough time finding it.
How did Dandelus think we would find you? Cole asked. Lorenzo shrugged.
If he somehow knew I was here, he may have assumed I keep an eye on the surface. I do. He may have figured a group of kids out of place would attract my attention. It would have, and it did. Tell me about Ramaro.
He was imprisoned in the Echolands, Cole said. He recently got loose, but an impression of Dandelus in the Founding Stone helped me redirect Ramaro to a prison in Creon, a vault called the Void.
You're speaking about legends, Lorenzo said. Dandelus, Ramaro, and the Void.
We have to find the Void, Cole said. Dandelus feels sure it won't hold Ramaro for long. We have to either keep Ramaro in prison, invent a better prison, or figure out a way to defeat a Torvor.
Lorenzo sighed. This is grim. We're probably all going to die.
We all die anyhow if Ramaro gets free, Cole said. I've been to the Echolands. Death isn't so bad. And whatever lies beyond the Echolands feels appealing.
Fair assessment, Lorenzo said. Is the Torvor as bad as the legends maintain?
Seems like it, Cole said. Dandelus agreed.
We don't want to face it head-on, Lorenzo said. But how do you imprison something that can escape the Echolands and the Void?
Trillian is still bound, Mira said.
Trillian was mostly defeated when they imprisoned him, Lorenzo said. If we could defeat Ramaro, it might open up options, but I am not sure that is possible. And I don't know the specifics of how Trillian was contained. I'm hundreds of years old, but the Torvors preceded me by a significant margin.
Can we find Kendo Ratan? Jace asked.
Wouldn't that be nice, Lorenzo said. Shouldn't he be long gone?
Shouldn't you?
Jace countered.
Valid observation, Lorenzo said.
But Kendo Ratan predates me by centuries. He helped create the Five Kingdoms.
Dandelus told us he might be around, Cole said. I guess most of the Grand Shapers of Creon gained power over death.
Lorenzo took a slow breath.
You have been told our deepest mysteries, secrets we have killed to protect. In some ways I'm glad. It confirms the gravity of your errand.
So we can find Kendo Ratan? Violet asked.
I cannot be sure of his present location, Lorenzo said. He has appeared to most, if not all, of the Grand Shapers of Creon after they retire. Never while they remain in office.
When did you last see him? Cole asked.
It has been some time, Lorenzo said. Kendo could be dead. Wherever he is today, he is beyond our reach, unless he wants to be found. But this is an emergency, so we are not necessarily limited to finding him today.
You mean time travel? Violet gushed.
I do,
Lorenzo said. Can you just send us back to one of your previous meetings with Kendo? Twitch asked.
Unfortunately, by Kendo's design, all of those meetings occurred in shielded locations, Lorenzo said. I can't get you to any of those conferences. I don't know where they happen. But I know my history, and there are a few places where you may be able to interact with Kendo Ratan after he created the Void.
Why not before he created the Void? Cole asked. We could warn him to make it stronger.
Lorenzo smiled sadly.
You are powerful. And so young.
You have not traveled through time before.
Cole shook his head.
And you know little of Creon.
Cole nodded.
You need some fundamentals, Lorenzo said. First, the past is fixed. You cannot go back in time and change the past. If you do, you will only discover that you become part of the past as it already happened.
What if I went back in time and killed you when you were a baby?
Jace asked. Everyone stared at him.
Not that I would, Jace clarified hastily. For the sake of argument, I mean, how can you stop me if you were just a little baby?
I wouldn't have to stop you, Lorenzo said. I'm here. I didn't die as a baby. It didn't happen.
The past is fixed. You would somehow fail. You could make mistakes. Someone might intervene. You might change your mind. You might even inadvertently save my life. In the end, any attempt you made to alter the past would become part of the past as it already transpired.
But if I went to the past, wouldn't I be a new addition to what happened? Cole asked. Couldn't I change the outcome from whatever happened before I went there? I'm just thinking out loud. I want to understand.
If you visit the past, there is no other past without your visit, Lorenzo said. The past you visited would be new to you, but it already happened with you in it. You'd just be the last to know. All that already occurred is inevitable. You can't avoid it.
There's no way around it? Cole asked.
People have tried, Lorenzo said. The theory is sound, but hundreds of attempts have been made to disprove the concept and alter the past. They always fail.
What if I read in a history book that I died in the past, so I never go?
Jace asked. Then either the history was wrong, or you will change your mind and go, or you will somehow get sent to the past, Lorenzo said. Those of us who journey to the past are few, and we try to do so unobtrusively. We sometimes get caught up in events, but we are there to learn, never to change anything.
Because you can't, Twitch said.
No more than I could break any other fundamental law, Lorenzo said.
Laws get broken all the time in the outskirts, Cole objected. You can travel back in time. That seems like breaking a fundamental law.
You must remember that the outskirts was constructed in an eternal realm, Lorenzo said. Many of the laws here are non-natural. They were shaped. Certain aspects of those laws are vulnerable to tampering. Some are not. Once you establish sequence, the past is the past.
It seems like if you can go to the past, you can change it, Cole said.
It seems that way because you don't understand life in four dimensions, Lorenzo said. You are imagining multiple pasts, a past with you and a past without you. The past is singular. I already told you, if you go to the past, you were part of it. It's hard to help you see the concept more clearly. It's like trying to explain life in three dimensions to somebody living in two.
Could shapecrafters warp the fundamental rules and change history?
Jace asked. Lorenzo shook his head.
If they could, they would have not only surpassed my capabilities, but they would have exceeded what my wildest imaginings consider possible.
Why go back in time if we can't change history?
Jace asked.
Like he told us, Violet said, to learn.
Yes, Lorenzo agreed. You could meet with Kendo Ratan and possibly acquire information that you could later use in the present.
Like where to find the void, Cole said. Or how to strengthen it, Mira added.
Who knows what you might discover, Lorenzo said. Considering the desperate need, I believe it's worth a try.
Won't it be hard to find him?
Violet asked. Lorenzo gave a nod.
At least one of you is familiar with Creon.
Why is it hard? Cole asked.
Lots of people would like to meet Kendo Ratan, Violet said. Or Lorenzo de Bray, she quickly added. Any of the former Grand Shapers, really. So they keep a low profile. They were hard to find when they were alive,
and their specific appearances are not recorded in any histories I know about. Their deeds and accomplishments, sure, but not specific dates synced with places.
The Grand Shapers of Creon are experts at not being found, Lorenzo said. That includes by time travelers, but I happen to know a place and time visited by Kendall Ratan.
When?
Violet asked. The dedication of the Halbrook School of Waymining, Lorenzo said. It was the first school of waymining in the region, founded by the Grand Shaper Kili Felks, one of Kendo's favorite apprentices. He did not reveal himself to her, but he was in the crowd. After her retirement, he told her about it, and he mentioned it to me.
Can we find Kendo in a crowd? Cole asked.
Not if he chooses to avoid you, Lorenzo said. Kendo is extremely in tune with his surroundings. He can disappear in a blink. He will be aware that you are from another time. He will be intrigued that you are young. And if we can introduce the problem of Romaro somehow, he will almost surely engage you. He once told me that the two Torvors are the biggest threat to the security of the Five Kingdoms. And Kendo Ratan dedicated his life to protecting the Five Kingdoms.
How do we alert him about Romaro? Jace asked. Would he overhear if we spoke about him? Should we wear signs?
Whatever you do needs to work, Lorenzo said. You can't inhabit the same time in Creon more than once.
Do you know other times when Kendo Ratan appeared? Mira asked.
I could make some educated guesses, Lorenzo said. The Halbrook School dedication is our best chance. If you fail there, you may never make contact with him.
Could you come with us? Cole asked.
I was already alive then, Lorenzo said. I was not yet a Grand Shaper, just a young wayminder, developing my abilities. I cannot return to a time I inhabited. I want to know more about you five. How did you become our defense against the Torvor? I understand that Cole has unusual power. It's strange that you are all so young.
I'm Jace. I used to be a slave owned by the Sky Raiders in Sambria, just like Twitch, Cole, and Mira. I'm free now.
He held up his free mark.
The Grand Shaper of Sambria took care of that for me. I've traveled with these guys ever since. I'm Miracle Pemberton?
As in one of the Lost Princesses? Lorenzo asked, surprised.
My father drove me into exile when he took my shaping powers. My friends helped me get them back, and we learned about Owendell and the Shapecrafters. We have restored the powers to all of my sisters except Elegance.
How are your shaping powers? Lorenzo asked.
Strengthening, Mira said. I haven't had much chance to test them.
As I understand it, Cole could help you try them, Lorenzo said. Even here?
True, Mira said. Lorenzo looked at Twitch. I'm Twitch Reuben, really. I'm one of the Grinaldi in Elawir. I'm basically here by mistake.
You escaped from the Sky Raiders with Jace, Mira, and Cole? Lorenzo asked.
Yes, Twitch said. Twitch has saved my life, Cole said. He's a lot more clever than he admits.
Not admitting your cleverness is much cleverer than the alternative, Lorenzo said. He turned to Violet. And what about you?
I'm the newest addition to the group, Violet said. They needed to go to Creon, so a wayminder was required. Queen Harmony partnered me with them.
You're young to be a wayminder, Lorenzo said.
I passed the trial 6 weeks after my 13th birthday, Violet said.
Extraordinary, Lorenzo said. That is younger than I was when I passed them. How old are you now?
Nearly 15, Violet said.
So, in one sense, you are the eldest, Lorenzo said, his eyes straying to Mira.
Except I have been 11 for decades, Mira said.
I know the feeling of suspending your age, Lorenzo said. You are aging normally now.
Ever since my powers were restored, Mira said.
And you serve the Queen, Violet?
I do, Violet said. I'm worried about her. She was taken along with the King and Honor and Destiny Pemberton as well.
Taken? Lorenzo asked.
They disappeared earlier today, Mira said. Some want to blame us because they know we were working with Violet, but we suspect Owendell used Wayminders willing to break the rules.
Lorenzo nodded. His enforcers have grown bolder over the last several years, and recently they seem willing to cross any boundaries.
They think they're about to take over the world, Jay said.
They're partly right, Cole said. Romaro will conquer the world if he gets free, but the shapecrafters will be his slaves just like everyone else will be. Favored slaves, perhaps, Lorenzo said. I expect a clean death would be much more pleasant. What about you, Cole? What is your story?
I came here from outside, Cole said.
Arizona. Phoenix area,
Lorenzo asked.
Mesa, Cole said. You know it?
Well, after my retirement, I took command of the Worldwalkers for a time, Lorenzo said. Expanded the operation. I take a great interest in your world.
So do some slavers, Cole said.
A bunch of kids in my neighborhood were forced to come here. I followed to try to rescue them.
You came to the outskirts deliberately, Lorenzo said.
Yes, Cole said.
Accidentally, but deliberately. And I've been waiting to find a Grand Shaper from Creon.
You want to get home and stay there, Lorenzo said.
Cole took a deep breath.
Is it possible?
Lorenzo stroked his mouth.
This world is not designed to allow it, but there are rumors of a way.
Really?
Violet asked.
Even Grand Shapers speak of it in whispers, Lorenzo said, many with skepticism. We call it the Pilgrim Path, a true way back to temporal reality from an eternal realm. There is no knowledge of it ever working, but such knowledge would be difficult to obtain. Any who walk the Pilgrim Path can never return.
Do you think anyone has walked it? Cole asked.
A few Grand Shapers of Creon have died, Lorenzo said. The rest are in hiding, and most hide extremely well. There are at least two who seem to have vanished. Either they passed away quietly, they hid perfectly, or perhaps they walked the Pilgrim Path.
Could you do it? Cole asked.
I aspire to try someday, Lorenzo said.
I don't have the ability yet. I may never have it. Fortunately, you are trying to find the best man to ask in the history of the outskirts. Kendo Ritan knows better than anyone if it can be done.
Should we get going? Jace asked. Time is against us.
Won't it pause time if we go back? Cole asked.
A common misconception, Lorenzo said. You inevitably remain synced to your native time stream. If you go back 100 years, spend a day there, and return, a day will have passed here. None have found a way around it.
And if we leave Creon? Cole asked.
When you leave Creon, you immediately return to your present point in the time stream, Lorenzo said. If you go back in time, spend 3 hours there, and then leave Creon, you will inescapably return to the present to find that 3 hours have elapsed.
All the more reason to hurry, Jay said.
I will do my best, Lorenzo said. Traveling back in time requires preparation. The longer you want to remain back in time, the more preparation I need.
How long to be ready? Cole asked.
Several days to prepare, minimum, Lorenzo said.
Too long, Cole said.
What if you send only one of us? Jace asked.
That would help a little, Lorenzo said. The problem isn't so much the number of travelers. You will all use the same wayport. Opening a way to the past requires an enormous amount of energy, and keeping you there takes additional effort.
To be safe, I should send you back for at least 6 hours. If you want to risk it, I could try sending you for only an hour. But you'll only get one chance within whatever time window we choose.
We can't return to the same time more than once, Cole remembered.
Correct, Lorenzo agreed.
Once our time runs out, we get drawn back to the present? Mira asked.
Inevitably, yes, Lorenzo said. Just like you would get pulled back here if you spent too much time in Cole's homeworld.
Remaining out of sync from where you belong can only be maintained for a limited period.
Can we get back early?
Jace asked.
If you were with a Wayminder who knew how to speed up the return, Lorenzo said.
Could I learn?
Violet asked.
Have you time-shifted?
Lorenzo asked.
A little,
Violet said.
Then it is possible, Lorenzo said.
You've gone back in time?
Jace asked, impressed.
No,
Violet said. Time-shifting temporarily alters the flow of time for a person or an object. You can barely tell it has been done unless you're a time-sensitive Wayminder. It's a way to diagnose potential in young Wayminders.
Our big problem is we don't have several days to wait, Cole said. We need to get back in time quickly. Lorenzo, what if I help you?
How?
What if I boost your energy? Cole asked. Could it maybe speed up the process?
Lorenzo paused, looking at Cole uncertainly.
I've mastered the secret of perpetual youth, the skill a Grand Shaper of Creon must acquire to retire. I've improved my abilities for hundreds of years. The power required for time travel surpasses what even the mightiest shapers of other disciplines can imagine.
Cole is amazing, though,
Violet said.
With his help, I can open a wayport anytime, anywhere, as frequently as I want.
You should try it, at least, Mira said.
Cole held out a hand.
See what you can do with me helping. If it doesn't make a difference, no harm done.
Lorenzo hesitated.
You won't try to alter my power.
Have shapecrafters worked on you? Cole asked.
Lorenzo looked offended.
Of course not. I don't want anyone tampering with my nature.
I'll just lend you energy, Cole promised. See if it helps.
Lorenzo took his hand. The Wayminder's power was spectacular, complex and brilliant. Cole started small, then began pouring power into him.
Whoa, Lorenzo said with wide eyes. Easy, Cole. Easy.
Cole pushed more gently.
Okay, Lorenzo said. I see. Yes, no wonder everyone is so interested in you. I expected a lot, but this is unprecedented.
Lorenzo released his hand, then cocked his head.
You're still connected to me?
I can hold the connection without touching, Cole said. I haven't figured out how to establish it without contact yet.
I expect you will, Lorenzo said. The physical contact is just a crutch. Your power touching my power has very little to do with you touching me, as you can currently feel.
Right, Cole said.
I can get you where you want to go immediately, Lorenzo said. Give me one more big push.
Cole flooded energy into Lorenzo, and his ears popped when a wayport appeared off to one side. Cole only had experience with shimmery, delicate wayports. This one was utterly black, like a wound in the fabric of reality. Chapter 17. Dedication.
That looks ominous,
Twitch said, walking around the dark gash in the air near the center of the room.
You think baby bunnies look ominous, Jay said.
Twitch blinked multiple times.
They could have germs.
It should look ominous, Lorenzo said. Time travel is no trifling matter. I suggest minimal interference in the past. Find Kendo Ratan, if you can, and learn all he will share. You'll have at least 12 hours. I'll talk with Violet about how to get you back early.
Can we all go?
Mira asked.
You could, yes, Lorenzo said. As you please.
Mira should stay, Jace said.
No way, Mira said. If I'm there, Kendo Ratan will be more likely to help us.
He won't know who you are, Jace said.
Probably true, Lorenzo said.
Kendo Ratan was actually there when the dedication happened, not visiting the event from the future. But Mira's status as a princess could carry some weight.
Would it make sense for some of us to stay back? Cole asked. If we can each only try this once, so we'll have another chance?
If Kendo is going to avoid you, he will avoid you, Lorenzo said.
If any of you could make a difference, it will happen whether you go now or later. I think whoever wishes to try should go together.
How do we signal him about Romaro? Cole asked.
He'll recognize that you are from the future, Lorenzo said. It will undoubtedly draw his attention.
Pieces of parchment? Mira proposed. Some could say Rom, others Aro.
Simple, Lorenzo said. Serviceable. I like it.
We're all going?
Jace asked.
We're in this together, Mira said.
Let me work with Violet for a moment, Lorenzo said. You see parchment on that desk, pens as well. Feel free to make your signs.
Lorenzo ushered Violet away while Mira claimed parchment and a pen.
How big?
She asked.
Small, Cole said.
Just big enough to be noticed. We don't want to draw attention from anyone else.
What if we get asked about the words?
Twitch wondered.
Play dumb?
Cole suggested. Tell them to mind their own affairs, Mira said.
You could start a fight, Jay said.
I'll improvise,
Twitch said, accepting a slip of parchment from Mira. She handed out pieces to Cole and Jace.
I guess we'll spread out? Mira asked.
Probably, Cole said. It'll give Kendo a better chance to notice us, and it will keep our paper messages away from each other.
What if he won't help us? Jace asked.
We keep trying, Cole said. We do all we can.
Jace nodded thoughtfully.
You're right.
I understand the theory, Violet said, returning with Lorenzo.
Mira gave her a slip of parchment.
With Cole energizing you, an early return could be possible, Lorenzo said. At the worst, you'll only have to wait about 12 hours. The eventual summons to your proper time will happen, naturally.
If Kendo helps us, he might be able to send us back, Cole said.
Kendo Ratan is my superior in every way, Lorenzo said. Let us hope for his aid.
Are you ready? Unlike many wayports, once you cross through, you cannot return to the same portal.
Got it, Jay said.
Time to go?
Anything else we should know? Cole asked.
A quick departure is better than prolonging this, Lorenzo said. I'm leaning on Cole's power to hold the time port open, but the effort remains strenuous. Cole should go through last.
I've never visited another time, Violet gushed.
None of us have, Jace said.
Me first!
He stepped into the blackness and vanished.
Jace? Twitch called.
He can't hear you, Lorenzo said.
Twitch jumped through, followed by Violet and Mira. Thanks, Cole said to Lorenzo.
See you soon.
It felt to Cole like stepping through a thin, perfectly even waterfall. Instead of getting wet, his skin tingled as the unseen membrane parted to receive him. And then Cole stood in a narrow, empty alley beside his friends. The sun was much too high in the sky to correspond to the day he had left behind. A trickle of water ran down the middle of the alley before veering into a drain. A pile of melon rinds and wilted vegetables moldered nearby. Jace took a deep breath.
Does the past smell worse?
It does here, Twitch muttered.
Did it work? Cole asked.
Are we in the past?
Lorenzo de Bray sent us, Violet said.
It must have worked.
She looked up at the walls with excited eyes,
lips parting in a wide smile.
We're in the past!
Then it's long before any of us were born, Mira said. Even me.
Should we spread out?
Twitch asked. Not a lot of room, Jace observed.
I'm sure he sent us here to disguise our arrival, Violet said. I bet it's the nearest empty outdoor space to the event.
Should we leave the alley and spread out? Twitch clarified.
Will the school be hard to find?
Cole asked.
Big granite building, Violet said. Look for a crowd or ask about the dedication.
I'll go first, Jace said, trotting toward the open end of the alley.
Meet back here? Mira asked.
Unless we find each other elsewhere, Jace called over his shoulder. Violet hugged herself and looked around.
We're in a different century.
It seems really normal, Cole said.
We're in the same kingdom, Violet said. I've been to the town of Halbrook, or I will come here someday if you look at it that way.
If coming here is in your past, you've been here, Cole said.
Makes sense, Violet agreed.
Bye, Mira said, walking away from them.
Cole snapped his fingers. Jace's rope! I wanted to try and power it up. You can connect to me,
Violet said, holding out her arm. Cole extended a hand toward her, then paused.
Lorenzo told me I don't need to touch you.
He searched for her power and began to faintly sense it. Reaching out mentally, he tried to connect, but it was slippery.
Be careful,
Twitch said, going down the alley. Cole grabbed Violet's wrist and instantly made the connection, brightening her power. I'll try to stay linked to you.
Do your best, Violet said.
Want me to go last? Cole asked.
Sure,
Violet said. She started down the alley, then glanced back.
Soak it in. Phew, get this opportunity.
Cole watched her pass out of view. The alley failed to impress him. All of the outskirts except Zeropolis seemed back in time to him. Swords and wagons. He was now further back in time, but there was nothing to emphasize the reality. He walked to the end of the alley and took a deep breath. There was nothing noteworthy about the air, except that he was away from the moldy vegetables. The street at the end of the alley was narrow without many people. Cole chose a direction and intersected a larger street with a lot of foot traffic. Many wore wayminder robes. Most of the others wore tunics. He didn't see anyone with a shirt and trousers like he had on, and wondered how conspicuous they made him. The wayminders all seemed to flow in the same direction, so Cole followed them. After turning onto another street, Cole found a crowded square filled mostly with wayminders, everyone facing a huge stone building with numerous fluted pillars. On the far side of the street, Cole saw Violet, and up ahead he noticed Mira. The assembled wayminders milled and talked as their numbers swelled. Here and there, wayports opened, and new wayminders joined the assembly. No ceremony had begun yet. Cole wondered how early he was.
"Excuse me?" a voice said over Cole's shoulder. He turned to find a short man with reddish hair and Asian features walking behind him.
"Yeah? This is an awkward question. But are you bearing tidings about Ramaro?"
Cole stopped walking.
"Kendo Rattan?" he whispered.
"I know the name," the man said.
"Who sent you?"
"Lorenzo Debray," Cole said. "I have not met him yet," the man said. "What is the message?"
"Are you Kendo?
You came looking for me?"
"Yes."
"How did you know to find me here?"
"Lorenzo."
"May I ask how he knew?"
"I think you told him," Cole said.
"Did I really?" Kendo asked.
"That is not how I normally operate."
"He is a former Grand Shaper of Creon. Not yet, though. He will be."
"Perhaps if I had a purpose, I would let such a person contact me in the past," Kendo said. "You are far from your proper time, and you are not native to the outskirts."
"I have to stop Ramaro," Cole said.
Why you? Kendo asked.
Lots of reasons, Cole said. I have special abilities,